Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Zayin, and we are in the middle of the Yomid on daf Kuf Vav Amid Beis. So the last daf in Perek Beis Kor, which discussed primarily somebody that's selling a Beis Kor. A Beis Kor is a parcel of land that's made up of a Kor, which is itself made up of 30 saw, each of which are made up of 6 kavin. In other words, 180 kavin of property. The primary sugi is a Perek Beis Kor. We're discussing what is included in the sale of a Beis Kor, what's excluded in the sale of a Beis Kor. What if what was said was that a Beis Kor would be sold, but when the buyer looked at it a little more closely after the closing, he realized he had a little bit more, he had a little bit less. What determines what the halacha will be the language that was used. Did he say mid bechevel? Did he say hein chaser hein yasa? What if he said both? We had a whole daf tucked away here in Perek Beis Kor regarding the machlokes and shas of tafas lashon rishon, tafas lashon achron. It's a suffix. What are you doing? It's a suffix. Doesn't mean I'm moitzim mechaveri all of a raya. Doesn't mean yachloiku. Either way, at the end of yesterday's daf, the Gemara digressed a little bit, and the Gemara got involved in the sugyas of Geirel. So we'll try to get back and speak at a little bit more rate regarding Geirel at the end of the daf. But for now, we have to do what we do. Itmar shnei achim shalchoku, two brothers that divided a Yerusha. So a man died. He left over sons, two sons. They came together. They divided the Yerusha. Let's say they did it with a Goyrel. So there was a Goyrel to decide which brother is going to get which part of the property. And then after they divided, they're living happily ever after. A third brother shows up, Vayuvai, and he says, one second, you divided the Yerusha into two. I was also your father's son. I'm supposed to get it as well. This was supposed to be divided into three. They determined that he was a real brother. So we have a problem. Rav Amarav says, Batal Machlokes, that we have no choice but to unwind the original Yachloiku. So if it was Reuven and Shimon, the original brothers, Levi's the third brother, Reuven and Shimon are going to both have to forfeit the property that they have. They're going to go to Beis Din, and they're now going to redivide the estate, but this time into three, not into two. Shmuel says, Mekansin. Whatever Reuven has, whatever Shimon has, he's able to keep. However, being that there's a third brother, they have to give something back. So each person gives one third of what they have to this third brother, and like this, everybody gets something. So the Rashbam gives an example. If there were six fields originally that this father left, so being that it was divided into two, each one of the brothers took three fields. Now that a third brother showed up, each one's supposed to get two, supposed to divide the six into three, not the six into two. So each one of the two brothers that have three are really supposed to have two, which means they take one of their fields, they give it to the third brother. The nafkamina is, according to Shmuel, being that I was machzik already in this piece of property, I'm comfortable there, I have my things there, I have my furniture, I have my tools, I'm not mechuyev to walk away, and we don't say that the original chalukah was a mekach toy, so to speak. That's not the way it works. Some of the Rav, told Rav Nachman, the Rav Dama Batal Machlokes, according to Rav, that says that in the event that the Yerusha was divided by two, and then they found out that really was supposed to be divided by three, we undo the entire Chaluka, and we do make Reuven and Shimon move away from their properties, respectively. Alma, what do we see from there? Hadar Dina, that if there was some element of tois in the Yachloiku, then you have no choice but to unwind it. Elamayata. So the Gemara says, I'll ask you a kasha. Hanabit lost the kaim of Azul Betraiminayu. If there would be a similar case, a man dies, he left over three sons. Two of the brothers went together to Beis Din, and they told Beis Din, you know, we're two of three brothers, there needs to be some sort of Chaluka over here. Can you oversee the division of this estate so we could all get what we're supposed to get? Upolog, and Beis Din did that. So let's say Beis Din made a goyro. And Beis Din says, okay, we're going to divide it into three equally valuable parcels of land. Now we're going to make a goyro that's going to determine who gets the first piece of property. You take the second, and the third's going to be for the third brother. And then the third brother shows up, and he says, one second, you guys went to Beis Din without me? Shouldn't I have a vote? Shouldn't I have a say? I'm uncomfortable with what happened over here. Says the Gemara, according to Rav, it would seem logical to say, Hachinami de Batal Machlokes, that it shouldn't work. Just like Rav said, if the third brother shows up from Medina Sayyam, so Huvra Adover, that there was an issue with the Chalukah, because it was divided into two and it was supposed to be divided into three. It says Rav, Batal Machlokes, we unwind the entire Chalukah. L'chur, the same should be true here. So maybe it is, says the Rashbam, but it's a sugyo in Perik Ego Metzias, Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Aleph, and it's Mavur in the Gemara over there clearly that in this case the halacha is the chalukka is chai v'kayim. We don't unwind the machloikis. And the Gemara thinks that's a kash on Rav, because if Rav holds Batl machloikis, al mahadar dina, if there's an issue with the chalukka, we unwind it. So what's the difference if the issue was that we never had in Zin this third brother because he was in Medina Sayyam, maybe we didn't even know he existed. Or in this case, we did it without the knowledge of the third brother. Shouldn't it be the same thing? And if Rav holds Batl Machloikis when we didn't know there was a third brother, shouldn't Rav hold Batl Machloikis in a case where we did know there was a third brother? It just so happens he wasn't here, says the Gemara, Hachi Hashto. I disagree. It's not a good comparison. Hassam over there in the Chisi Adai to the Beit Klasa. May Bikara. There's a very obvious distinction between the two examples. In Rav's original case, they didn't know there was a third brother. Being that they didn't know there was a third brother, there was a tois, similar to the concept of mekach tois. They divided it thinking that it's supposed to be divided into two, or really it was supposed to be divided into three. Over here, there's no tois. Over here, they divided it into three. That's what it was supposed to be divided in. It was just done shaloi midas. There's one brother who happened to have not been aware of it. Here, the Gemara argues that who cares that that brother wasn't here? At the end of the day, Bezdin paskin that you could divide it. Bezdin made a geirul. The geirul's outcome would not have been any different had the other brother been standing in Bezdin, or he had he'd been at work doing whatever he was doing at that time. So being that there was no impact and there was no element of tais, maybe it was a little slippery. It was a little greasy. If this, I was this third brother, maybe I'd be a little paranoid. But you know what? At the end of the day, there's no element of tais over here. There's no basis to undo a chalukka that was overseen by a bezdin. And it's for that reason, even though Rav holds batl machlekes, hadar dina over here, the halacha is going to be that we leave it as is. Amalei Rav Papa Abaya. Rav Papa told Abaya, Shmuel d'amar mekamsin. So what was Shmuel's halacha? In the case of two brothers that divided. A third brother shows up from Medina Sayyam and they realize that there was a tais. They divide it into two. Really, they're supposed to divide it into three. So Rav said, batl machloikis, we unwind the whole thing. We start from scratch. Shmuel says, no. Each brother can keep two-thirds of what he has, but he has to give away a third. In our example, if originally there were six fields, each brother got three because they took the six, divided it into two. Now we have to take the six, divide it into three. Each brother's supposed to end up with two fields. They have three. Each brother gives one-third of what he has. He gives one field to this third brother. The Memra, says the Gemara, and this is Rav Papa arguing to Abaya, to come Dina. So you see that, being that there was a chalukah, we leave the chalukah as is, says the Gemara. Is that true? Do we say that if there was a chalukah, if somebody took something, and when he took it kedin, but then we find out later that there was an issue. We say, but once I have it, I keep it. Like in this case, I took three fields. It turns out, really, there was a mistake, but being that I'm holding the three fields, so we'll give me at least two out of the three fields, which is something that I'm legally entitled to. And this is why we're getting involved in this. This is a trushtel. One of the reasons, anyways, to a sugya that we learned together on Sunday. If somebody tells his friend, I want to sell you a kor for 30 sla'im. Kor is made up of 30 sa'. So essentially, he's selling one sa' for a seller. But the language that he used was kor. I'll sell you the whole kor for 30. Then the halacha is, until the buyer does meshicha on the entire kor, even if he did meshicha on 29 out of the 30 sa'in, he can back out. Because the mekach is not considered to be completed until he does meshicha on all 30. Kor b'shloishim. Sa b'sela ani maychalach. If, however, he used language suggesting that it's not one bulk sale of a kor, but it's 30 individual sales. I'm selling you a sa, and another sa, and another sa, and another sa. Then the halach is risha risha kana. That once the buyer does meshicha on one, at that point, you can't back out anymore. What's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha is from the resha. Kor b'shloishim ani maychalach yachalachsa. Why do we say yachalachsa? Why do we say that as soon as the buyer does meshicha, at that point he has it, and once he has it, we're not taking it away from him. Interesting kasha, something worth pondering a little bit. But let's just, for Daf Yomi purposes, take the kasha at face value. So, freak the Gemara that just like Shmuel said, Mekansin, that even though when we divided the land originally between the brothers, we did it betois. Why was it Pitois? We divide into two, really, we're supposed to divide into three. So when the brothers took three fields, they weren't supposed to take three fields, they were really supposed to take only two fields. The halacha, however, is that if you have two, we'll leave the two by you. We're not taking it away from you, even though it came about through a chaluka b'tayis. It doesn't matter. We're going to keep it by you. So say the same thing over here. Once the buyer does meshicha on some of the core, even though technically in halacha there's a basis to back out, but once he has it, let's leave it by him. Says the Gemara, Hasam Avad Rabbanim Milsa D'nichalei L'moicher V'nichalei L'lekeach. And the way the Rashbam explains it, Rashbam in the Amid, is that it's true. It really is a contradiction on some level. Shmuel's halacha of mekamtzin by the shnei achim shacholku ubalehen ach memdina sayam, and Shmuel's halacha kur b'shloishem ani meicherloch yocher lachse be'afil b'sa'achreina. But you know what governs this halacha? You know what made it that one place Shmuel shapaskin one way, Shmuel the other place, Shmuel shapaskin the other way? It's what the chachamim thought the two parties involved in this transaction would want. In the case of Shnei Achim Shacholku, the brothers want to divide the land. Why do they want to divide the land? Because they're not interested in me owning it together with you and together with you, because it's a kedera de beishutfi, like the Rashbam says. Loi chamima, v'loi karira. So I want to have mine, and I'll focus on what I need to focus on. You take yours, and you focus on what you need to focus on. So being that they're incentivized to walk away, so Shmuel held that even though we found out later that there was a toys in the chalukah, they don't want to unwind it. That's not what they want. They want to leave the chalukah as is. Mekamtzin, okay, I'll give you a little bit. You give me a little bit, but let's not go backwards. Let's not unwind this whole thing. It's not what we're interested in doing, because we don't want to go back to the state of having a kederi de beishutfi. In the case, however, where kur b'shloishim ani moichaloch, yochel achsabai, that too is based on the fact that we assume the buyer and the seller don't want the transaction to be complete until they actually completed it, until Meshichu was done on everything. So it's for that reason the Chacham and Paskin, the halacha of Yochol, Lachzavoy, the Rashbam adds a little bit of lumdus, a flavor of lumdus, and that is that we assume that being that the buyer and the seller don't want the transaction to be complete until the Meshich is done on the entire core, that's probably what the Das Makna was. It's probably what the Das Koina was. So it's not just some external Takanas Chachamim. But being that the Chachamim deem that that's probably what they want, they therefore had a right to assume that that's probably what the buyer and the seller were thinking. That's what the buyer and the seller were thinking. So now there's das, that this kinyan shouldn't be complete until the entire Mashiach is done. So for that reason, Shmuel's halacha of Mekantzin would not apply. A similar halacha. Itma achim shachalku, two brothers divided a property. Uba balchayv, v'not tachalka shalachad mehem. A balchayv came and he said, this Yerusha that you had, one piece of property belonged to me, or I had a lien on because of money that your father owed me. So there were two fields, let's say. Reuven took one, Shimon took the other one, and now the Bachayv comes to Reuven and he takes away Reuven's field. The halacha is that Yorshim are obligated to pay their father's loan. So the brother Reuven had no choice but to take this field and give it over to the Bachayv. Now he goes over to his brother Shimon and he says, it turns out that when we did our chalukah, I didn't realize that the field that I was taking had a lien on it. The field that you were taking didn't have a lien on it, so I want some consideration back from you. Let's take your one field, let's go back to Beis Din, let's redivide it, so why should I be the one that loses because of our father's chayvus and not you? So that's the Gemara. How do you handle this? Three-way machlokes amiram. Rav Amirav says, batal machlokes. You're right, you unwind it. So originally we thought we had a chalukah over here. It turns out we didn't. We take the one field, we put it back in the middle, we go back to Beis Din, nachat goyrel, we do everything all over again. Shmuel Amaviter, Shmuel says no. Shimon gets to keep what's his. I, Reuven, lost the field, so that was Reuven's bad luck. But Shmuel gets to keep what he has. We're not unwinding anything. Rav Asi, Rav Asi says, I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure if Rav's right. I'm not sure if Shmuel's right. It's for that reason, it's a moment on multiple safik. What we do is we give Reuven back half of what the of half of Shimon's field. Meaning, according to Rav, Reuven would get half of Shimon's field. According to Shmuel, Reuven's not supposed to get any part of Shimon's field. Says Rav Asi, I'm not sure if you're supposed to get nothing or if you're supposed to get half. I'm going to end up giving you a quarter. The quarter is going to be either Bekarka or Bemois, meaning Shimon gets to decide. He could either give him half of the field, or if he wants, he can give him b'mois, even though it says revia bikarka u'revia b'mois, it's not revia bikarka u'revia b'mois, it's oi revia bikarka oi revia b'mois. Either way, it says the Gemara, Rav Amar, Rav holds bat machlikis that we unwind it because of our achash cholku yarshin heim. He holds that brothers that yarshin a piece of property are yarshin. What does it mean? They're yarshin. Of course, they're yarshin. Achin she choku. Of course, they're yarshin. But this is based on the sugi zebreira that we spoke a little bit about this yesterday. That even though there are two brothers, still we assume that each brother gets directly from his father, b'memela, whatever was supposed to be his. So just like if there was one brother, he gets a pateris yarish. If there's two brothers, it works in the exact same way. So the two brothers that yarshin are considered yarshin. So they're each getting it directly from their father. As a result, each one is also inheriting this choyv, this obligation that comes along to have to pay this bal choyv. Shmuel Amar Viter Kasava Achash Cholku L'Kuchei Seim. He holds Ein Breira. So two brothers cannot get a piece of property from their father, Beteris Yerusha. The way we look at these two brothers are as if there was a Yerusha that came down and they decided amongst themselves who's going to get what. It's as if they agree that I'm going to sell you what may potentially be mine, you're going to sell me what may potentially be yours, because being that Ein Breira, there's no way to know exactly what Reuven yarshin, exactly what Shimon yarshin. You can't say, Huvra Adavad, I'm afraid that this is what the father gave Reuven, this is what the father gave Shimon. So when Reuven takes his and when Shimon takes his, it's really a mutually agreed upon transaction between the two brothers. That's viewed in halacha as a separate transaction. We look at Reuven as if he's buying from Shimon, and Shimon as if he's buying for Reuven. Now, there's no money trading hands, so lekuchos is something that we're using somewhat loosely. But the point is, it's as if it's a separate transaction. If it's a separate transaction, and we look at them as lekuchos, there's no achrayis over here. So mean that there's no achrayis. So if the Reuven took his field that he ended up getting, and then a bachayv took it, so Reuven doesn't have the pateris yorish. He really got it from Shimon, because Shimon was the one that had to sign off on Reuven getting his piece. He has it like a lekech. What happens if somebody buys something from somebody else and then a bal chayv takes it away? Depends. Did he buy a bachrayis or did he buy a chalei bachrayis? If he bought a bachrayis, that's recourse. He can go back. If he bought a chalei bachrayis, then there's nobody to go back to. Being that this is viewed as a mekach, shaloi bachrayis, he has nobody to go back to. That's why Shmuel holds vit there. Shimon's going to keep his. Reuven said, this machloikis, Rav and Shmuel, is really toloi in a very global machloikis, whether yesh breira or whether ein breira. What about Ravasi? Mesafkele, yorshim avi, ilukuchai sabi. Ravasi wasn't sure if ha'achin shacholku are yorshim, if the lukuchai is hilkach neit, levia bakarku, levia b'mois. He looks at it as a mom and a mutu basafik. There's another example where Ravasi, one of the gedolei amirim, a paskening ostensibly like sumchis, that Maman Amutu Basafik, the halacha is going to be Chalkin. Either way, we have two machlekes in over here between Rav Shmuel and the third machlekes. We have a third sheet that's Rav Asi, but two machlekes in between Rav and Shmuel regarding Achin Shechalku. The first case was where two brothers divided property, they divided an estate. A third brother came from Medina Sayam, so they divided into two, thinking that they were two brothers. Lo and behold, there was really a third brother. So what do you do? Rav said, Batu machlekes. Hadar Dina, we unwind the entire Chalukah, and we have to start from scratch. Shmuel says, Mekamtzin. No, we're not unwinding everything. Let every brother keep two-thirds of what he got, and they're going to have to give one-third to the third brother. The second case was where two brothers divided a property, and then a Baal Chayv came, and he took one of the properties away from one of the brothers. That brother now comes to Bezin with a tiny. He says, why should I be the one to have to pay my father's Chayv this more than my brother? Rav says, Bakal Machlaikis. We unwind the entire Machlaikis. Shmuel says, Mekamtzin. Shmuel says, no, the brother that has his property and that it wasn't taken away from gets to keep his, the one that lost out, he's the one that lost out. The Gemara is going to say that these two machloikesin are a little bit tolu zebezeh. In both cases, certainly in Rav says, batla machloikes. Whether the reason batla machloikes is because there was a tois, they divided into two when they were supposed to divide into three, or whether it's batla machloikes because it turns out that one of these two properties had a lien on it. So one of the brothers got something that was meshubet to a bal chayv, the other one not. But in both cases, Rav says the same thing. We unwind it. Shmuel in both cases is not so happy unwinding. In the first case, Shmuel says, I can keep what's for sure mine, two-thirds of it. You're right, I'll give you one-third. And in the second case, Shmuel says, I'm not even giving you anything. I can keep viter. I can keep all that's mine. You don't get anything. Says the Gemara, Amar Rapapa, Hilchasa, B'chol Hani Shmaitz. You see, Rapapa puts it all together. Mekamtzin. The halacha in both of these cases is Mekamtzin, meaning Rav Papa Paskin, like Shmuel, in both of these cases. In the case of Achin Shecholku, Ubolhem Achim Medina Sayok, and in the case of Achin Shecholku, Ubob Al Choyvin, not Al Chelke Shalechon. The Amamemer, Amamemer said, Batla Machloikis, he Paskin like Rav in both cases. Vehilchasa, Batla Machloikis. The Halacha is Batla Machloikis, even though we're usually Paskin like Shmuel, Bedini, by Rav, when it comes to Issa Veheter. Over here, the Halacha says the Gemara follows Rav. Batla Machlekes, another Gemara. For this next Gemara, you need an envelope or a good like calculator app, something. Tana Rabbanan, Shleisha Sheyardu Lashum. We spoke yesterday a little bit about Nechse Yisayman. There were times that Bezdin had to sell Nechse Yisayman. So, for example, the man dies. So, a man dies and he leaves over. Boys, leaves over girls, leaves over almana loyaleinu. So the halacha is, the boys yarshin, habana is yizaynu, and the almana is also nizaynus minechsi yisaymin. These are some of the real fleshy yisugis in the end of Masechtas Ksubas. So now there's yisaymin, kitanim, let's say, from whom we're going to have to take money to support these yisaymin sisters and their mother, the almana. How do we determine the value of their assets before we sell it? You can't just sell it. This is Nechsi Yisayim. You have to be very, very careful. So there's a whole process. It's called Shuma Dayanim. Bezdin would come, three Dayanim. They would make an assessment, and they would determine what the value is. Based on that, they would sell it, take the proceeds, and support whoever needs to be supported. Says the Gemara, a Braisa, which discusses what happens if the three Dayanim came down to assess the property, and lo and behold, three Jews are going to have three opinions. And every person assessed it at a different value. So how do we determine it? It says that, it's like a shmaki gemara. One said that it was worth a mana, 100 zuz. The other two said it was worth 200 zuz. Or, one said it was worth 200 zuz. Two said it was worth 100 zuz. So you go basaroyv, achirav mahatois. This is easy. Whatever the majority says, that's ultimately what rules. What if one of the Dayanim said it was worth 100 zuz? One said it was worth 20, which is 80 zuz, converting it into zuz. And the third person said 30 times 4, which is 120 zuz. So there were three Dayanim. One said it was worth 80 zuz. The second said it was worth 100 zuz. The third one said it was worth 120 zuz. Says the Gemara, three shitas had a view it. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Tzadik, Gaim, Nidim, Etishin. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Tzadik says, Nidim, Emana. Sorry. Tanakama says, Mana, 100 zuz. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Tzadik, Gaim, Nidim, Etishin, 90. Achirim, Achirim says, Oysen, Shuma, Beineim, Umeshalshin. What does that mean? You take the difference between the lowest assessment and the highest assessment. So again, do a three dayanim, 80, 100, and 120. The first shita is 100. Sounds like the derech hamamutza. We'll see in the Gemara. The second shita says 90. So one person said 80, one person said 100, one person said 120, we paskin 90. The third shita is, take the difference between the lowest shuma, the lowest assessment, and the highest shuma, the highest assessment. 80 was the lowest, 120 was the highest. The number you get is 40. Divide that number into three. 40 divided into 3 is 13 and a third. And tack that on to, that's why you need an envelope, to the lowest shuma, which was 80. 80 plus 13 and a third is 93.3. So again, take the difference between the lowest and the highest. The lowest was 80, the highest was 120. You get 40. Divide that by 3, mishalshin, you get 13 and a third. Add that to the lowest, and you have your number. 93 and a third. Says the Gemara. What's the methodology behind these three opinions? The mandama that says a mana milsim itziyasa. He took the middle road. One person said 80, one person said 100, one person said 120. So it's not the average, right? You could have thought maybe it's the average. It's not the middle shita. The middle shita, not going to go so low, not going to go so high. Sort of a compromise. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Tzadik says, 90. If one said 80, one said 100, one said 120, where did 90 come into the picture? Kasavar, because he holds. What's the pshat that one person thought 80, one person thought 100? If it's really worth 80, would somebody have made a mistake and overassessed it so much to 100? And if it was really worth 100, would somebody have underassessed it so much and made it 80? It's not mistaber. You know what's more mistaber? It's probably worth 90. The Haidakamar Esrim, the one that said 20, which again we're converting into Zuz, means 80. The Kotoya Asar Lachayr, he was off by 10. The Haidakamar Mana, the one that said 100, Kotoya Asar Lachayr, he was also off by 10. So it actually makes more sense, says Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, that its real value is 90. And then I can justify why one person thought 80, one person thought 100. They were all, both off by a 10. One went under 10, one went over 10. But it makes sense, because if it's really worth 80, then somebody said 100, he was off by so much. And if it was worth by 100, it was really worth 80, somebody was off by so much. So it's actually more mistaber just to be able to rationalize the mistake that it's somewhere in between. It's really worth 90. Thus, one person thought 80, one person thought 100. But the Gemara says, Adirabba, why don't you take the same logic and come up with a different number? Maybe Hayarim may have asar shafi. Maybe it's really worth 110. V'haydekamamana, the one that said it's 100, katoy asar l'chayre, he was off by 10. V'haydekamashloishim, the one that said 30, which we're converting into 120, katoy asar l'kame, he was also off. Meaning, there were three opinions. If it was only 80 and 100, I understand that it would be 90. But there's 80, 100, and 120. So why are you using your svara and meeting between the mandama that says 80 and the mandama that says 100? Maybe use the same svara and meet in between the mandama that says 100 and the mandama that says 120. Says the Gemara, Nekoit mias trei kamay biyotcha, demitoiris mana loy mafkile. It makes sense to take the lower two versus the higher two, and the Rashbam has the easiest pshat in the Gemara, because tafasta meruba, wait tafasta, that's a rule. So at the end of the day, you're better off coming up with a lower number than coming up with a higher number. Acherim oimrin, Acherim said, that was the third shita, oisin shuma beineyem, umishalshin. You take the difference between the lowest assessment and the highest assessment, which was 40, 80 and 120, umishalshin, you divide it into three, you get 13 and a third, and you tack it on to the lowest number. So you take 80 plus 13 and a three, you end up with 93 and a third. What's the methodology? Same exact svara. Kasavri, hayaritishin, vitlasa, vitlasa shavi. You just have to do a little bit more math. This property is really worth 93 and a third. Haidakama Esther, the one that said 20, which is 80, katoy tlesa vitlasa lachayri. He undercharged it by 13 and a third. Sounds like a random number, but he undercharged it by 13 and a third. That's why he came out with 8. The Haidakama Mada, the one that said 100, katoy tlesa vitlasa lachayri. He was also off by 13 and a third. Now, if the one that said 100 was off by 13 and a third, and the real value is 93 and a third, then what should his number have been? 106.6. He really said 100, says the Gemara. Ubedin with the lame threat. Really, he should have said more. He should have said 100. He should have said 106.6. Why didn't he say 106.6? He was starting to get a little uncomfortable because he saw his buddy said 80 and he's going to say 106.6. Whoa, he's going to be off by too much. So he rounded it off to a nice Jewish number. He made it 100. That he was just uncomfortable telling him what he really thought. But the Gemara says, interesting way of looking at it, but beyond that, Adarabba, how do you know to make this cheshbin for the one that said 80 and the one that said 100, maybe apply, cut and paste the formula, drag it on your spreadsheet, to the mandamar that said 100 and said 120. Meaning, I can always tell you, ha, I may have a place of a tlasa shop. Maybe the property was really worth 100 and 13 and a third. So hi, the kama mana, the one that said it's worth a mana katoy tlaiz of toslachar. Same exact svar. He was off by 13 and a third. He said 100. He undercharged by 13 and a third. The hi, the kama shloshin, the one that said 120 toy tlaiz of toslachame. He was also off by 13 and a third. He went 13 and a third more. Aye, if it's worth 113 and a third, and he's off by 13 and a third, then his number should be 126.6. What was his number? 120. But then who did combat face says, well, you're right, and that's what he should have said. But Savim is starting to come with physically high. He was starting to get uncomfortable because he saw that his friend was so much lower than him, he didn't want to be off by so much. I mean, the same exact Svara, just apply it for the two larger numbers, says the Gemara, the same exact teretz, nekoit mias trei kamay biyotcha. It makes more sense to go with the lower number, the miteres mei, le mafkile, and again, the way the Rashbam explains it, because tafasta meruba loy tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta. So again, we had a case where Bezdin sends down three assessors to assess a piece of property. The three assessors had three different opinions, and in the Gemara, the Tanaim also had three different opinions in terms of how you deal with this. One person in the Gemara's case had said that the property was worth 80 zuz. The second person said it was worth 100 zuz. The third person said it was worth 120 zuz. How do we deal with this halacha l'maisa? The Tanakam and the Braisa says, nida memana. Let's take the middle road. The middle is 100. That's what it's going to be. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik said 90. The Acherim said it's going to be 93 and a third. What's the svara of 90? Because it makes more sense that it's neither 80 or 100. It makes more sense that the number's probably somewhere in between. One person went a little bit under and the other person went a little bit over. So if one said 80, one said 100, let's make the number 90, which would rationalize. The one that said 80 would rationalize the one that said 100. I wanted you just make it 110, which would rationalize the one that said 100, the one that said 120. Tefasta meruba loy tefasta. Acherim had a very similar methodology. But whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik said that it makes sense that a person would be off by 10, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik said it would make sense that a person would be off by 13 and a third. So same exact svara. The number is probably somewhere between 80 and 100. What's the number 13 and a third more than 80? It's 93.3. Therefore, that's going to be his hachra. It would justify why somebody said 80, he was off by 13 and a third. The one that said 100 should have been off by 13 and a third. He should have said 106.6. He just got a little uncomfortable because he realized his number was a little out of whack. So he came down a little bit. He had his number as 100. I say the same exact thing for the one that said 100, one that said 120. Say that it's worth 113 and a third. He's off by 13 and a third. He would have been off by 13 and a third. He was just getting uncomfortable as well. Says the Gemara again, tafasta mruba le tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta. Amr Afunda, Afunda said, halacha kacherim. The halacha is like the third shita, that we assume that the assessors were off by 13 and a third, and he was uncomfortable. Rav Ashi said, time of Acherim lo yadinon. I have no idea how to make sense of how Acherim came up with their number. I mean, I heard it, but it really doesn't make sense to me. Hilchos avdina kavasayah, Rashban says, pit me, expect me to pass in that way? No way. Daini goyla, ayusin, shuma bin eim mishalsha. The daini goyla, Shmuel and Karna, they also passed like Acherim. They said, ayusin shuma bin eim. Take the difference between the lowest and the highest, divide it into third. Amar Rav Huna, and Rav Huna said, Hilchos HaGadayne Goyla. And Amar Rav Ashi made the same exact comment. He said, Taimi Degayne Goyla Lo Yadinon. I have no idea what in the world Dayne Goyla are saying, meaning how they came up with their pshat. Hilchos HaDinon Kavasai Ritmiya. There's no way that I'm going to paskin like the Dayne Goyla. So before we conclude, just go back yesterday. We spoke at the end of the daf a little bit about a geiro, the concept of the geiro. Came in, ha'achin shacholku, the two brothers were dividing their father's estate. They took the property, divided into two equally valuable parts. But the question was, what's Reuven going to get and what's Shimon going to get? Kivin shal geiro lechemehem. They decided to determine with the geiro. Once the geiro comes up and says that this is going to belong to Reuven, kanu kulam. Reuven's going to be kind of his chelik. Shimon's going to be kind of his chelik. They don't even have to do a ma'isa kinyan. How do we know that? Ketchilas Eretz Yisrael. Matchil b'goyrol. Just like Eretz Yisrael was divided with a goyrol. Afkan b'goyrol. Imala halon. There was also a kalpi. There was also a v'tumim. It's Rav Ashi. Is it Omer Rav Ashi? Is it Elo Omer Rav Ashi? Bahu anod. The katzaisi la'adodi. Gamru machni la'adodi. So we spoke about this. Ba'arichos yesterday. Machlik is Rambam Raivid. The Raivid says on the Rambam, who seems to be quoting this Gemara almost verbatim, that like, I don't understand it. This is not a Shver Rambam. He said, this is a Shver Raivid, Chidush Reb Chaim Halevi al Rambam, with a whole Arichos to understand what the Raivid's Hasoga could have possibly have been on the Rambam. And then yesterday, we digressed a little bit into the concept of Goyro, where you find it in Tanakh, where you find it in Teresh Valpeh, in our culture, in our history. So Goyrolis is something that features prominently. Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara discusses here, we spoke about the Purim, Haman. Why Purim, not Pur? Torah from Yenis and Ivishitz, the Aris Dvash, Yoina ben Amitai jumps into the sea based on a Goyro, something that's brought down in Halacha in Sefer Chassidim. We spoke about the Shnei Seirim on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. Which Seir is going to go Lashem and which Seir is going to go Lazazel is all determined based on a Goyro. On the base of Mikdash, they made Goyro. Magen Avram says if it's a Shaila with two people that have Yartzeit, who should say Kaddish? Mikamachin a Goyro. It's something that comes up over and over and over again. Goyro is something that features prominently, very richly, in our religion. What's interesting is that if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, Yerideya Simen Kuf Ayin Tes, and Yerideya Simen Kuf Ayin Tes, in short, is you shall not do any heebie-jeebie. That's basically what the Simon's talking about. Shalei Lachashef, La'oinen, La'nachesh, a lot of these different, interesting, Shekav, Yiddish word of the day, halachis, come from Yerideya Simen Kuf Ayin Tes. Says the Mechaber, Ein Shoyalim, Bechoizen, this is Halacha Aleph, You're not allowed to go to chayzen b'kaychavim, stargazers, v'loy b'gayrolos. You can't make gayrolos, l'chura. First glance, you start simon, go find a test. This is the first day of the zman, if you're learning this sugya. The Mechaber says right away, that ain't shaylim b'chayzen b'kaychavim, v'loy b'gayrolos. So how does it stem with all these different gayrolos that were done? So, poshut, I think you would probably say, Mechaber is talking about shaylim. You're not sure. Should I do this or should I not do this? Should I go? Should I not go? Should I buy? Should I sell? You have a shiloh. You're not sure what to do. So instead of going to a Rav, we don't have today the Urim V'Tumim to go to. Instead of davening, you go to someone that you understand is a big mumcha, is a big baki in Geirolos, and you tell him, Macha Geirol, and we're going to decide what to do and what not to do. So Poshet, that's probably what it means when we say, Ein Shayalim Be Geirolos. Doesn't mean you can't make a Geirol to divide a piece of property, for example, but if you're going to be shayel eitzah by a geirol, that's something you're not allowed to do. I think it's a little bit dachuk. It's probably what you have to say, but it doesn't answer all the kashas, because historically there are many anecdotes. The geirol agra, there were times where people did things based on geirol. They, at first glance, seemed to have been shayel b'geirol. So I looked around a little bit. The Chida, in his Birchei Yosef, so he doesn't address the kasha with the tkifus that you would have thought, but he does say something interesting. The Chida over there is talking about something that the Merikash says. Mutter leftoyach b'toyrah lirois ha-pasuk ha-oyla. It's okay for a person to open up a Sefer Torah or a Chumash to see which pasuk he's going to see first, even though he's doing it to resolve some sort of dilemma, some predicament that he finds himself in. And because the Torah is chayenu, u'kumayshem yetzinu b'yoshiyo, sha'asa ma'isal, sha'matza sefer Torah, gala b'yosef pasuk, v'chein amadover. Amadover means, take a look at Klal Yisrael. But Torah's Eden have always done that. So there were times where people weren't sure what to do. They had a little bit of a shiloh. They would open up a sefer Torah, and based on what they saw in the sefer Torah, that would decide what they're supposed to do. I'll tell you one interesting anecdote. The Chasam Sofer in a drasha says that the Chavis Yar, so we all know the one of the Gedoyli Achreinim was the Chavis Yar. So the Chasam Sofer says as follows, that he heard that why the Chavis Yar named his Sefer Chavis Yar, he said because Chavis Yar had written his Sefer, but he just wasn't sure what to name it. So that's, you think, the easy part. But either way, he was stuck. So they couldn't go to Prince, because he wasn't sure, he had a suffix, what to name the Sefer Chavis Yar. Says he decided that the next time he gets an Aliyah, whatever Pasuk he sees, like on the top of the Sefer Torah, that's what he's naming his Sefer. And they called him up, and the pasuk over there was Vayikra Sham Chavis Yar. And he held that it was a tremendous remes, because his name was Yar, and his Baba's name was Chava. So he felt this is Yar ben Chava, and it's for that reason he named the Sefer Chavis Yar. So there was an idea where people, they would open up a Sefer, and based on what they saw, that would determine. So it says the Chida, that's what he saw in the Marikash. And he says, that's what David HaMelech meant when he said, Bikutech, Bikudecha Asicha, that it's Mutter Litol Eitzem in HaTorah. That's something that's okay. V'kibalti Meraboisa, he says, K'sho Yeroitzem Lassus Ezedavar, V'ayim Mesupakim Im Lassoisim Lav, Ho'yonoitl Chumish, Oy Arbova Esrim, they would open up a Tanakh, V'yupoischen Oisei V'royim B'roi Shadaf Ma Pasuk HaYomoitze. They would see what Pasuk was on the top of the Yomit. U'kathima Shemara Oisei Pasuk HaYoisim, V'nimtsu Shoyim Mesiatzim Im HaTorah Kadas Ma Lassus B'cholun Yoneim, V'zeh Atzmoi Roimez, Mash Amru Chazal, says the Chida, the Agam Sha'amru B'Sifri, Agam Chazal said, Ein Shayelim B'Goy Rolois, Tichziv Tomim Tiyah, Kigoyin Zu Shar. This will be different. So at the end of his piece, he bavards. We're opening up a Chumash. We're going to see what Pasuk we stumble upon, and we're going to make decisions based on that. Why is that not an element of Goyrol? Says the Chida, that Vaistois, this is not Goyrol. To use it through a Sefer Torah, that's something that's going to be okay. I saw in the Sefer, Oitzer HaYediyos, that's from Reb Yechiel Mechel Stern. So at the end of Chelek Aleph, he has an Arichos on Geirolos. So he brings different anecdotes regarding Geirolos. He also brings different Chachamim in our history that were considered to be big Bekim in Geirolos. As the Chida says in the Shema Gedolim, that the Evan Ezra was a big Baki in Geirolos. So when he lists the resume of the Evan Ezra, aside from being the parson of all the dairis, in addition to that, Meina ben Shvachav Shayu Baki Begoyrol. Reb Chaim Vital was a big Baki in Goyrol. He says Reb Chaim Vital wrote a sefer called Goyrol Kodesh. And in the Hakdamah to Sefer, he says, why did I take the time to write a sefer Goyrol Kodesh? Why am I not writing a sefer on Kabbalah, on Torah? Why Geirul Kodesh? So he says as follows. Yan ubiyan, I'm quoting from Reb Chaim Vital. Ro'isi ros b'nei amenu. V'gam shamati sh'roiv ha'olam einin nezarim v'shoylem ba'oiv yadayni. He says, because I hear that people, they go to fortune tellers, they're shoyl ba'oiv yadayni ala gineva el dvar macher v'nerim ma'isek shofen, having enough of ma'isek shofen. So we know that's wrong. Chayv skila. These are things you're not allowed to do. L'chein kasafti zeh achibur ma'ata kamos v'golisi b'kant soitz. I wanted to show people that you think, number one, that you have to go there for someone to be megalus soitz. The Torah is a feichba va feichba the gulaba. Chaim Vital was the Talmud moving of the Arizal. So he had a Messiah in these snakes. He says, I could show you where in the Torah you're able to do the same exact things. And af shemin aroi hoya shalei legalosik yidua. He says, it's pashit that I shouldn't have written the Sefer Geirul Kodesh. Achosisi zois kidei sheyedu sheyesha likim v'nevim b'Yisrael v'lo yechu achar akshofim. They shouldn't have to go there. But now they shouldn't have to. It's not necessary. There's no reason in the world to have to go there. Talks a little bit about the Geirul Agra, the Mir Yeshiva, supposedly used the Geirul Agra to make some of the Chaim Oizer, Rabbi Yeruchim, the Mashkich and the Mir, some of the big decisions that they had to make, they made based on the Geirul Agra. They had a Masoira, had to use it, and they used it, and of course the Mir Yeshiva survived. How many years ago, Yankee? But either way, I'll just tell you, at the end here, he brings one fascinating story. I told the story to my son last night. He told me, yeah, he knows the story. But either way, he read it somewhere. But either way, the story took place in 1951. There were Chayalim, I think it was Chayalim, they went to Gush Etzion somewhere and they were killed, Nebuch. And there were 35 Jewish soldiers that were killed. And they were buried in some temporary kfura. And then finally, when they found the bodies, they wanted to give them regular kfuras Yisrael, but they couldn't identify all the bodies. The 23 of the bodies were identifiable, but 13 of them weren't. They just didn't know who they were. And you can imagine, the families had a lot of agmas nefesh from it. They felt very, very bad. So at the time, Ratzvi Pesach Frank, he was the Rav HaRosh in Yerushalayim, so they called him and they asked him, is there anything we can do, an Eitzah, to try to find out, give these families a little bit of closure. They should know who their family member is. So he didn't know what to do. He decided to send it to the Tzaddik Rabbi Arye Levine. And he asked Rabbi Arye Levine to make a geirul, because Rabbi Arye Levine was tapped in. He says, maybe you can make one of these geirulers, you'll be able to figure it out. And the maisa goes as follows, that Rabbi Arye Levine made a geirul. And he took, exactly how the geirul went, I don't know. But the first geirul, the first pasuk that Rabbi Arye Levine picked was Umimata Binyamin Begeirul. That was the pasuk. Umimata Binyamin Geirul. And there was Yid there, one of these people whose name was Binyamin Bogolovsky, and he said, that's a simin, that this is Binyamin Bogolovsky. Then he went to the next body, and he picked up Haloy Benyamidi. He said, this is Oded Benyamini. The third one was Kolanefesh Haboli Yaakov. There was someone there whose name was Yaakov Ben Atar. The fourth pasuk he picked up was Vayomer Yosef Havu Miknechem. He said, this is Yosef Baruch. The fifth pasuk was Va'ono Gaon Yisrael. He says, this is Eitan Gaon. Goyin Yisrael. The next one was Vayikach Eliyahu Asayelet. He said, that's Eliyahu Hershkovich. The next one was Zvulun Omar. He said, this is Yitzchak Zvuluni. The next one was Koyanecha Yilbashut Tzedek. He said, this is Alexander Koyan. Koyanecha Yilbashut Tzedek, Alexander Koyan. The next one was Nishba Hashem Velo Yinochim Atta Koyan. He said, this is Yaakov Koyan. The next one was Gambova Linpa Chalola Yisrael. This is Yisrael Marzal. And then the next pasuk he picked up was Acha Sha'alti. And the last person was Shol Minueli. V'haya Hadover Lipela Ployan. How he was able to identify the 12 bodies based on using some Geirul. Upon him, this is the power of Geirul. And we'll leave over here.